Well, today is the feast day of the great Saint Pius V, born in Italy in 1504. It's really the story of a poor shepherd boy who became the chief shepherd of the church, to feed the lambs, to feed the sheep, and to tend the lambs. As a young man, he entered the Dominican order at age 14, and then became a teacher, a novice master, and a great lecturer in philosophy and theology. He was then chosen to become a bishop and chosen to become a cardinal. And then when he was chosen to be pope, he wept. He felt this was such an awesome responsibility. But he always maintained his deep life of prayer, his holiness, and his austerity of life. Even when he was pope, he would not wear the elaborate robes that the previous popes wore. He wore his simple white Dominican habit. And this actually has been the tradition now for the last 500 years, since Pius V, the Pope always wears the white cassock, the white habit. Other priests, you know, priests sometimes wear the black cassocks. Bishops wear the purple cassocks. Cardinals wear the red cassocks. But the tradition of the Pope wearing a white cassock started here with this great Dominican Pope who is the habit of the Dominican order, is the white habit. He was chosen Pope in the year 1566, just 3 years after the Council of Trent had ended. And he was only pope for 6 years, one of the shortest papacies in the history of the church, and yet perhaps one of the most fruitful and most productive papacies in all of history. It was a time, it was right after Martin Luther and the Protestant revolt from the church, when a great portion of Europe broke away from the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. It was also a time when the Turks, the Muslims, were rising and fighting against Christendom. It was a time when Catholics in England were being persecuted by Queen Elizabeth. And so the Pope had quite an awesome responsibility. His main job was to protect the church from the infidels without and from those who were tearing at the mystical body of Christ from within, namely those who were revolting against the church, those who were falling into heresy and trying to rend asunder the body of Christ. And so his main work was to implement the teachings of the Council of Trent. And so along with the great St. Charles Borromeo, the Cardinal of Milan, they began to bring about reforms in the church. But what were some of the reforms that the church needed in those days? Well, first of all, it was to get the bishops to come back and to live in their own dioceses. Many of the bishops had summer houses and only came into their dioceses, you know, once or twice a year to collect revenues. So the Pope said, no, if you're going to be a bishop of a diocese, you have to be the shepherd and live within that diocese. You can't live on the summer resort in Monte Carlo or something like that. You have to live where you're in charge of your flock. The Pope also said, we have to reform the religious orders that have become very lax, and we're not living a life of prayer or not following the rule of their founder. The Pope then began to establish seminaries for the education of the clergy and held diocesan synods, which would help to deal with some of the abuses that were taking place in the church at that time. He reformed the breviary, the divine office, which is the prayer books, that's the priests say. And he reformed the missal, which is used at the Mass. He also established many catechisms. He brought out the catechism of the Council of Trent, and something that we still have today, which is catechism, CCD, the Confraternity of Christian Doctrine, he helped to establish and promoted throughout the church. He also declared St. Thomas Aquinas to be a doctor of the church and asked that his teachings be used in every seminary that was to be established. He also revised canon law and the study of theology. He excommunicated Queen Elizabeth in England for persecuting the Catholics there. And in the midst of this, he continued his pastoral work of visiting the sick and the poor. He was a man of great fasting and prayer. He would even walk barefoot through the city of Rome during the processions and give out bread to the hungry and the poor. And of course, his greatest victory occurred in 1571 when the Turks were about to invade all of Europe. And he asked all the Catholics throughout the world, all the Christians, to pray the rosary for a great military victory against the Turks at Lepanto. And as you know the story, Don Juan of Austria led the Christian troops against the Turks. And it was on October 7th, the year 1571, when the great Christian victory took place over the Turks, which protected Europe from becoming Islamic. And it was a great rosary victory. And the Pope, out of this, thanked the Blessed Mother and declared October 7th to be the feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary. He died the next year, the year 1572, at the age of 68. He was canonized in 1712 and really is considered one of the greatest five popes of all time in the history of the Church, along with Leo the Great, Gregory the Great, Pius X, and most likely our own Pope John Paul II. To the intercession of St. Pius V, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.